The Hangman of England, Derek and the Brandons. After Mr. Bull, the next executioner was simply known as Derek. In 1601, at the Tower of London, he executed the Earl of Essex. The irony here is that Essex had actually saved Derek from the death sentence several years earlier, when Derek was condemned for rape in France. In accordance with the custom of the period, the Earl commuted his sentence on the condition that he would serve as an executioner. Derek is mentioned in The Fortunes at Nigel by Scott, and the hangman also gave his name to the type of construction crane that we call a derrick, because it resembles the gallows that he created. The gallows itself was known sometimes as a derrick, even in the reign of James I. Derrick was active around 1598 to 1610, and may well have been the man who tortured and executed Guy Fawkes in 1606. This is the man that planned the gunpowder plot to blow up Parliament. Fawkes was the last of five conspirators to be hanged. Derrick had Gregory Brandon as an assistant on several occasions, and he would become a public hangman himself later. Brandon lived with his wife Alice in Whitechapel on Rosemary Lane, and he was frequently in trouble with the law himself. He was convicted of manslaughter in 1611, but pleaded benefit of clergy. That means that he claimed he was a clergyman, which meant he was outside the jurisdiction of secular courts and should be tried in an ecclesiastical court under canon law. He ended up being branded on the thumb. Now, this meant he couldn't claim benefit of clergy ever again. Brandon may have been an executioner for nearly 30 years. It seems that the Garter King of Arms, Sir William Segar, was duped by a practical joke in granting Brandon a coat of arms in December of 1616, being ignorant of Brandon's profession, the consequence of which Brandon and some of his successors were often ironically termed Esquire. Gregory Brandon died around 1640, leaving his son Richard to carry the executioner's business on. An executioner, of course, was a versatile exponent of his brutal and inhumane craft. He was a headsman with the axe. He was a hangman with the rope. He was also a torturer, mutilator, public flogging, brandings, etc. A common English nickname for the public executioner was William Boilman, because of a savage English law enforced for 17 years, 1500 to 1547, when all poisoners were sentenced to be boiled to death. The English executioner also carried out the peine forte à dire, or the pressing to death, in which heavy weights or stones are piled on the victim who is stretched out on the floor. If he confesses for the crime, he will then usually be hanged. If not, he slowly dies crushed to death. Asphyxiation. One gentleman in the Salem witch era was pressed to death for refusing to plead guilty or innocent. This practice was so common that a part of Newgate Prison was actually called the press yard. Richard Brandon, Gregory's son, became so well known that he was included in the Dictionary of National Biography, for it fell to him to be the executioner of King Charles I. Richard was known as Young Gregory, and for a time the gallows at Tyburn was referred to as the Gregorian Tree. He took, a foul of the English law being incarcerated in Newgate Prison on a bigamy charge, from which he somehow extricated himself. He lived also on Rosemary Lane in Whitechapel with his wife Mary, though whether she was his original wife or the alleged bigamous one is unclear. In a series of execution performances, Richard Brandon became famous. In 1641, he executed for treason Sir Thomas Wentworth, the Earl of Strafford, beheading him on Tower Hill on May the 12th. In 1644, he executed William Laud, the Archbishop of Canterbury. In 1645, it was then King Charles I's turn. The king was found guilty of being a tyrant, a murderer, and a public enemy by a Cromwellian revolutionary tribunal. Rumors abounded regarding this act of regicide. It was said that Brandon refused to execute the king. It was said that two troopers named Hewlett and Walker had volunteered to do it, but in disguise. When the executioner and his assistant appeared on the scaffold erected in front of the banqueting hall in Whitehall on January 30, 1645, both men were masked and disguised. The executioner was said to have gray hair, and both appeared to have false beards. As was custom, the executioner would ask the victim for forgiveness. Now, either the executioner, in the confusion, forgot to ask, or it's possible that the king refused to forgive him. Charles I simply asked the block could be maybe a little higher, but it could not be made any higher. So the king put his head on the block, and Brandon bent down, make sure the king's hair was out of the way, and Charles said, wait for the sign. The executioner said, I will, as it please your majesty. The king gave the sign, and in one mighty blow, he was beheaded. Rumors circulated that the masked executioner was either the Earl of Stair, a Scottish judge, Captain Joyce, a soldier, Hugh Peter, an Ironside army chaplain. The French claimed that it was Cromwell and maybe Fairfax as his assistant. But in fact, there's little doubt that the two men were Richard Brandon and Ralph Jones. Brandon was paid £30 for his services, all in half crowns, within an hour of the execution. Brandon, using the same axe, executed other royalists, the Duke of Hamilton, the Earl of Holland, Lord Capper. Later, it was said Brandon suffered from remorse and died on June 20, 1649. If he had, in his stage fright, as such a dramatic occasion, forgotten to ask the king's forgiveness, or if indeed the king had refused to forgive him, or the crowds that no one but God could forgive a king ruled by divine right, then it would certainly be preying on Brandon's mind. It was a universally accepted ritual that the executioner should be forgiven by the victim in order for that executioner not to have any victim's death on his own conscience, a psychological device that was subsequently replaced by the convention that a condemned criminal died by the hands of the law. Now, the sources for this, The Hangmans of England by Bailey, The History of Capital Punishment by Scott, The Encyclopedia of Murder by Williams, Collins, and Pittman, The Reluctant Hangman by Atoll, and The Common Hangman by Bland. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us by buying a CD or giving us a donation or maybe becoming a subscriber for a few dollars a month. Thank you very much.